The Outlet. The talk of Southland.
Welcome to The Outlet. I'm your host, Brent Harbour. In this podcast, I talk to Matidia Light, whose Invercargill Kapa Haka group has won a place at the prestigious 2025 Te Matatini Festival in New Plymouth. We talk about the journey of the group, how they feel after their remarkable feat of qualifying in such a short time, and their goals and aspirations for the 2025 festival.
Local voices, local info, The Outlet, the talk of Southland.
Matidia, welcome to The Outlet podcast.
Kia ora, tēnā koe, Brent.
Hey, congratulations on your group success at the regional competition that was held just recently. So how does it feel to have earned a place at the prestigious Te Matatini Festival?
Tēnā koe, thank you for that question. I guess, you know, it's exciting. It's just nice to have been able to, like, achieve something at scale that has not only benefits for, you know, the individual performer, but for the whānau and the community that we come from. And we're just stoked to have made it through to Te Matatini. It's every competing kapa's dream to perform on such a platform. And it really is an honour to be representing the most southern rohe, Murihiku, at the National Senior Kapaka Competition next year in Taranaki. So I guess the main for us is now just only beginning, really.
Te Matatini, it's a massive festival, and boy, it's growing every time it's on. I was just having a look at some of the reports from the last one. People rushing in to get in the front row. It's just great to see, isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely thriving, and it really is speaking, I guess, and showing an example of the power of kapa haka and the reach that it has for the well-being of all, really.
So can you tell us more about your journey of forming your kapa haka group and the motivations behind it?
Initially, it began, and I did speak about this in one of the articles that was written around the community aspiration. And so we had some whānau who had noticed this as a gap, I guess, in our rohe for quite some time. In the article, it also mentions around the fact that Murihiku hasn't had representation at Te Matatini since the year 2000. So not only was it something that we found a need in the community, but I guess it was just, as you mentioned before, the excitement, the way that Te Matatini is now shaping our rangatahi and the well-being that we experience through participating in an event as viewers, as observers, but to be able to be in it, it was just an aspiration that our community have had for a while now. So it was just timely, I guess, for me. I think it was October or November. I was fortunate to have come into a role as Rautaki Māori for an organisation, a health prevention organisation, Healthy Families. And Rautaki Māori was a new role that had been implemented into the Healthy Families kaupapa across all the locations in Aotearoa. So I was fortunate to have been successful in being in that role as Rautaki Māori. So my role as Rautaki Māori was really to backbone the aspirations of our community in achieving health outcomes. So that was really my role there, and taking a systems approach where you look at the many factors and conditions that kind of surround a kaupapa, and also promoting the pathways of our people and achieving manamotuhake for themselves and what health looks like to them. And kapa haka was kind of that.
And then you put it all together, and you've achieved a remarkable feat by qualifying in such a short time. It's really great. So what do you think contributed to your group's quick success?
As I mentioned, the ability to take a systems approach, looking at the order of six conditions of systems change, I guess our strategic partnerships as well with Active Southland, Healthy Families, our local Murihiku funders, One NZ, our ILT Foundation. They were really pivotal in, I guess, supporting the resource flow. Again, our marae, our kura and our pohanga reo involvement in the kaupapa, we created a charitable trust entity, so it wasn't relying on a person or people as such, but the sustainability of the kaupapa was really paramount in order for us to not just have kapa haka for now, but far into the future. Our whānau participation, the generational learning environment that was created, and addressing, I guess, a true need within the hapori, and empowering leadership across all levels using strength-based approach. So I guess that was parts of, it wouldn't be the whole picture because we could probably write a book But that is kind of a wee snippet into some of the factors that contributed.
I know you have touched on it, but beyond the performance, how does Kapa Haka contribute to the health and well-being of the community? What effects are you seeing?
So this kaupapa, our Kapa Haka kaupapa, truly reflects what holistic health and well-being models try to achieve, or how studies and research papers talk about the importance of tinana wairua, hine ngaro and whānau, so looking at that Te Whare Tapa Whā model. As Māori, these are natural, innate ways we view health. So to be in a kaupapa that knows how important these concepts are, but knowing that being Māori and having the Māori space allows you the freedom to live your Māori worldview, you know, and to have others understand and relate to the Māori dust, I guess, you carry, and how this approach is, you know, not just refreshing or healing, but it really is a true, real life model that we see as important to Māori health outcomes. And I guess the ability also to kōrero with your people in your native tongue. You know, there's no better way for us to communicate as Indigenous people but to speak your own language, your mother tongue. And I guess, you know, we not only have people that speak Te Reo Māori, but we have Māori Indigenous tangata whenua who didn't get that opportunity growing up. So listeners in that space, and to hear their language, you can't really put it into words, but it's all of those things, you know. It's health and well-being, it's connection, it's whakapapa. And I guess the cool thing for this particular kaupapa that's been able to contribute to the health and well-being of our Māori community is that they have been the drivers of the kaupapa. You know, this kaupapa has been a way to promote Kapa Haka as a credible health pathway for our whānau. And so they're being seen visibly driving change and driving health promotion in our community.
And I would imagine there's an incredible amount of knowledge being passed on as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's the whole beauty about whanaungatanga, and I guess living in a village type of a way. It definitely is teaching, learning, developing all of not only just our hauora, but our traditional knowledge, our stories, the way that we get to articulate, the way that we see the world, and the unique stories that we have as Māori a pan-tribal community living in Murehiku.
And with all that going on too, I mean, you have to put your performance together. So it consists of a lot of different elements. What is the process of putting those original items together?
Yeah, I'll tell you, it is a process.
I'm sure.
So I guess where do I start? We had a collection of various composers who wanted to support the kaupapa very early on in the planning phase. We identified what expertise we needed and what we required in this area. And I was just really lucky to have been able to draw upon my whānau, the Fofo whānau, to compose some of the items. And our Fofo whānau had been long-standing within the Māori community here in Invercargill, and it was another way for us as a whānau to be able to contribute to Murehiku, and a way for my whānau living in the North Island to also contribute to the legacy. I'm talking about the legacy that my grandmother, Kahurere Light, and my and her sister, her sibling, Ngaro O'Donoghue, who were pioneers in various kaupapa Māori initiatives, one being the Kōhanga Reo movement and their involvement in kura kaupapa, also the connections to mana whenua here, you know, Nanny Peggy, Lord George Te Ao, and the Mātāwaka community here as well. It was just another way for our whānau to be able to continue in their footsteps. And that's one part, so drawing upon whānau and continuing in the legacy of our tupuna, I guess, and continuing to contribute to our Murehiku community. We also use some of our connections in Otako. So we use a group of people and they come under the umbrella of Mairehu Consultancy. They had been working in our kura, actually composing items for our high school and primary school kapaka groups. So I simply just reached out and made relationships with them. And I guess that's a key term as well, relationships, having those connections to people, forming them as well. So I guess one thing led to another there, and they were a strong composition support network that we were able to use as well. And we also have a creative group within our kapa who focus on like the choreography side of things, also the overall composition and materials that are used. And they're the team that teaches and develops the skills within the performers. And we just draw on each other's strengths, I guess. You know, my area of expertise is within music, notation and vocals. So I'd lead out at times in that area, and then we'd have someone else who their background and their expertise come from, movement of rako, weaponry, that kind of thing. So we draw that, you know, we just draw on each other's strengths. So that's, I guess, a wee bit, again, it's not the whole picture, but a little snippet.
No, and there's a lot going on there, obviously.
Yeah, trying to remember it all.
Yeah, no, I know, but you'll be back into it again soon. So as the group prepares for Te Mata Tini in 2025, what are your goals and your aspirations for the festival?
I guess the goals and the aspirations as a kapa, we're still looking at strengthening what we've already established and just to continue to build on what we now know through our learnings, how we can use our learning to inform future practice, to continue to carry our unique stories and kaupapa to Te Mata Tini. You know, we're the only ones who can share our stories. They're our stories to share, so that's exciting. That's a really cool opportunity that we're excited about. And I guess just continue to work towards quality kapa haka in the South and represent Rerehiku the best that we can and the best we know how to. And another big goal and aspiration of ours is to foster our next generation, you know, celebrate our kaumātua and pakeke for their mahi and paving the way for us, you know, for us to be able to enjoy our language and culture the way we can, we do. You know, we always recognise that other Indigenous communities around the world, you know, could only dream of living authentically Indigenous ways of being as tangata whenua in their own whenua. So we don't take any of this for granted, but we just celebrate and continue to do the mahi that we need to.
Oh, that is brilliant. Well, look, congratulations again on your success so far. I really look forward to seeing you on stage next year, and thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much, Brett. Ngā mihi tino nui.
On Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, The Outlet.
The talk of Southland.
Thanks for listening to The Outlet. The Outlet is produced and published by the Southland app and supported with funding from the New Zealand Public Interest Journalism Fund. The Outlet is available on the Outlet button of your Southland app and wherever you get your podcasts.